Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
News radio, WTAM 1100, Wills Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news, is with me. As I said, every day this week, Matt is working his hardest to make sure you've got an opportunity to early get a hold of some Black Friday deals. Yesterday, we had some headphone deals on a wireless deal. Hey, Matt, good morning. Specifically today, you're looking at some doorbusters, some deals at Target, huh?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about Target is the Target deals I find today are actually going to feed into some Walmart deals that appear tomorrow on Will's Ways to Save. Sounds kind of strange, right?
A little bit, but I guess they got the same suppliers in some ways.
They do. And the interesting thing, so my mission right here for Will's Ways to Save is don't let the retailers ruin your Thanksgiving. Don't let them pressure you to line up. I'm breaking their biggest deals early. I'm breaking their doorbusters on WTAM.com keyword save so you don't need to line up. And one of the – okay, again, just stick with me for a second.
All right,
this is weird.
All right.
One of Target's doorbusters – is a $79 deal on the Amazon Echo.
Okay.
Doesn't make any sense, right?
No.
Why? Again, I don't understand stores sometimes the way they think. They're trying to beat Amazon at Amazon's own game, but the interesting thing is they're trying to convince some people to line up for this deal. It's great. You want to automate your home, you want to make it smart. Awesome. But you don't need to line up to do it. In fact, on Will's Ways to Save tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm going to show you how to get that same doorbuster from Amazon, no lining up required. More so than that, if you want to get one of those smaller ones, the Amazon Echo Dot or a tablet, I'm going to show you how to do that for $29. So what Target is doing today leads into what I'm going to save you money on tomorrow. If there are a couple other categories I just wanted to break down, Bill, is there anything you're looking for this holiday season?
You know, I hate to say it or admit it, but you know, like toasters, you know, kitchen things, stuff. Maybe it's just that point in life or where we're at now. Some things that don't sound too sexy, but boy, you need them around the house, you know?
I like that, though. You're shopping for essentials. So absolutely. If you were going to buy any of those items, I would actually steer you away from Target. If you head over to WTAM.com using the keyword save, you're going to find a list of the top 32 early doorbusters. On that, I have kitchen essentials, cookware, knives, toasters,
blenders,
kettles, appliances. It's all there. So, Bill, whether you're going the Alexa route or a different way, I've got you covered.
WTAM.com, keyword save. Granite doing all the work. Follow him on Twitter as well, trying to save you as much time and money, of course, so it doesn't ruin your Thanksgiving with deals. WTAM.com, keyword save. Watch him on 3 back here same time in the morning when we make a visit to Walmart. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Hey, St. Augustine Church putting the call out. They need some help. Channel 3's Will Uwick is set up over there this morning. Will, this is a longtime Thanksgiving tradition, but the great people at St. Augustine and the volunteers, they're feeding the needy every day. What's the story here?
Yeah, and you know, Bill, they do it all year long. I mean, they really do, but this is obviously one of the busiest times of year for them. Their Hunger Center is serving about 19,000 people at 17 different locations across the city, also delivering 8,000 more, all in the name of Thanksgiving. And right now, some of those meals at risk, they said they needed up to about 30 drivers to deliver that food to people. A lot of those people, seniors living by themselves. So it's not just food, Bill. It's also food and, hey, happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, some of these people are kind of lonely here for the holidays. So they need drivers. They need volunteers to serve breakfast over at Pilgrim Church. And as always, they need food and they need monetary donations as well with Thanksgiving now a couple days away.
I know. Thanks to anyone that's helped out year after year. And a lot of families make this a tradition, or people make it a tradition of helping over at St. Augustine before they enjoy Thanksgiving. But just want to get the word out this morning. So when it comes to drivers and delivery, they need to know that you do want to help and get scheduled then, right?
Yeah. You can get a hold of them here and let them know that you're ready to go. And just to reiterate, though, I mean, this place, obviously very busy now, but they provide 3 meals a day year-round. So really, while there's a special need right now around Thanksgiving, they really appreciate anything you can do, whether it be to drop off food or to help out at any time of the year. But obviously, it comes under light right now during the Thanksgiving holiday.
Channel 3's Will Uwick set up over at St. Augustine this morning. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Bill.
More on the info, story, and contact info, just go to WTAM.com, local news page. You can see more. Coming up at 6:50 this morning, our buddy Mark Munch, Bishop, no matter what station he has worked on in this town, has made it a tradition to beat over at St. Augustine to gather donations. We'll talk to him more about the need at 6:50 when Munch checks in on News Radio WTAM 1100. And you get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings 15 and 45 past on News Radio WTAM 1100. Boy, they were throwing the threes in last night.
Yeah, they were, Bill. They were doing whatever they wanted to do against Detroit, and LeBron set the tone right out of the opening tap.
The Cavs are in there all wines with Lou and Goldstrom. LeBron coast to coast, gets it, puts it up, and puts it in. And LeBron James, 38 seconds in, has a chance for a three-point play.
Yeah, they did it the conventional way and the current way from beyond the arc. 16 threes. LeBron with 16 of his 18 in the first quarter. Cavaliers led 36-23 after 173-46 of the half. They crushed Detroit 116-88, as LeBron put it.
We're in a good groove right now, and we want to try to continue that coming in here today.
And that they did. Five straight wins for the Cavs, who are led by Kevin Love with 19. They'll be home to the Nets tomorrow night. Kyrie Irving scored 47 points as the Celtics rallied to beat Dallas in overtime, 110-102. That means Boston has now won 16 in a row. Well, the Browns have lost 10 in a row in this season, and they're 1-25 under Hugh Jackson. So, Hugh was asked yesterday, well, all this losing, what about the plan as this team is bottomed out, trying to build forward? Here's what Hugh had to say.
The plan that's in place, let me say this. My job is not to say it is or isn't. My job is to coach a football team. That's what I was hired here to do. I wasn't hired here with a plan. I was hired here to coach this football team and get them to be the best I can get them to be. And that's what I want to concentrate on.
But my point is if you
I'm going to coach this football team, and I'm going to get this football team to be the best it's going to be. I'm not interested in talking about a plan. I don't want to talk about a plan. I want to talk about our football team and coaching this team and getting them better. That's it.
I'm saying is if that's your attitude, I mean, how?
That's my attitude. My attitude's not going to change. I'm going to keep telling you the same thing. And I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody in this room. But I'm not talking about no plan.
Tough days in Berea. Something to make Coach Jackson smile yesterday. Josh Gordon is back practicing. He's not eligible to play in a game until a week from Sunday. This Sunday, the Browns will play at Cincinnati. In Monday Night Football, the Falcons outscored the Seahawks 34-31. Sad note, former Buckeye and former Cowboys and Patriots receiver Terry Glenn died in a car crash near Dallas Sunday night. Baseball, Indians greats Jim Thome and Omar Vizquel are among 19 first-time candidates on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Thome, eighth in home runs all-time with 612. Omar, 24 seasons, 11 gold gloves, to over 2,800 hits. They join the Braves Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and pitcher Jamie Moyer as first-timers on the ballot. I think all of them are going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I really think when you really look at it, they should. Thome and Omar should be first-time ballots. They should be going in. We should have a lot to celebrate this summer. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts joins us this morning. And how you comment and who you comment on when it comes to allegations, these story out of D.C. with politics and more and Franken and all. Steve, where do you see this thing?
Well, you know, one of the most interesting developments here is in the conservative Christian community, Bill, who are really torn. On one hand, they were very strong supporters of Donald Trump. Trump got 80% of the evangelical Christian vote. But at the same time, there are pastors in that community very troubled by Roy Moore's sexual history and the allegations of assaulting young women. And so people are really torn between morality and politics, Bill. The politics dictates vote Republican, vote for the guy who's anti-abortion, vote for the guy who is going to support Donald Trump's nominees to the Supreme Court. But cutting against that is this unease that they're supporting someone who's a very flawed figure morally. And the same dilemma faced a lot of evangelicals in the last election with Donald Trump, and they resolved it by voting for Trump. And they could be the key to the result in Alabama. If Roy Moore wins, he's going to win it on the strength of evangelical Christian votes.
Yeah, people voting on issues at times. Let's say he does win. There's talk about expelling him. You'd have to go back to the history books to see that done the last time. If the Democrat wins, it gets tight in the Senate, right?
It sure does. And, of course, we've seen this already very graphically with the defeat twice of attempts to repeal Obamacare, because Republicans have only 52 votes in the Senate. That means you lose three votes, and your legislation is blocked. And that happened. It's not theory. We have the example right in front of us. And even more pressing for the Republicans is their tax reform bill. This is absolutely central to their hopes of going to the voters next year with a record of accomplishment. This is the Super Bowl for them. And already several Republican senators have shown uneasiness. Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, Senator Collins of Maine. There are others who are not necessarily on board. Some conservative Republicans saying this bill is going to cost the Treasury $1.5 trillion. How is that conservative economics? So if the Democrat, Doug Jones, and in the Fox News poll, Jones was ahead by 8 points in the last vote. That could really imperil the president's agenda, but particularly the issue of tax reform.
Let me get you out here on that point where the party might go. Gingrich was famous at nationalizing things 20 years ago. At times, the budget, health care has been nationalized, and as a political issue. And really, they can't get this thing passed. That's year one where there was really no legislation passed under Trump.
Virtually none, but the one accomplishment they point to over and over again is the elevation of Justice Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And this circles back to exactly what I was saying earlier, Bill. For many conservative Republican voters, the single most important issue is the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court deals with so many questions that are troubling to conservative Christians, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's prayer in schools, whether it's mandates to organizations to cover certain medical procedures such as abortion or even contraception. And so what you're seeing played out, you saw it last year in the presidential election, you're seeing it played out again in Alabama. That is the central issue for a lot of conservative Christians. That's what motivated them to vote for Trump. And that's why, even in the absence of much legislation, they think that Trump's been successful because of the Supreme Court.
All right. Much lighter note. You and I won't get to visit before, so hope you and Cokie and the family have a great Thanksgiving, pal.
You too, my friend.
Let's get that call out. Our buddy Mark Munch Bishop checks in, St. Augustine Church at 2486 West 14th, every day, serving those in need. Mark, I got to hand it to you. First of all, over the years, I don't care what station you have worked at, you have been a part of promoting St. Augustine. Why?
Well, Bill, it goes back to 1990. Can you believe that? When Father Joe McNulty tracked me down another station, and it's funny how word spreads about things, and I'm honored and blessed about that. He said, once someone said you could help me, we had a few benefactors pull out. Our pantry is empty. This was Monday of Thanksgiving week back in 1990. I went and met Father Joe, Sister Creta. Bill, how do I tell you this? We have two saints in our midst over at St. Augustine's Hunger Center, 2486 West 14th, and was just so emotional talking about it. I was so impressed and touched. I said, we got to do this, and bang, been doing it ever since. And you see the families come in. You see those down on their luck come in. You see just about everyone come in, Bill. And on Thanksgiving, you heard Kathy talk about it. Ken Robinson talked about it last night. Over 21,000 people will be fed Thanksgiving alone. So many of those shut-ins, Bill, that cannot get out. We're going to take them meals.
And Mike Snyder, as we've heard this morning, they need some help when it comes to delivering meals and making sure we've got the cash and the turkeys as well, right?
Yeah, Mark, how can people get involved, and what actually do you need people to do?
Mike, you're going to love it. I've got a drive-through right there at 2486 West 14th across from Lincoln Park at the Father Joe and Sister Creta Way. You pull up with your car. You open the window, you hand me an envelope with some cash in it. Kids hand me baggies with change in it. Tell me if that doesn't touch your heart. Or you pop your trunk. We'll take the turkeys, canned goods out of your trunk. You don't even need to get out. If you want to come tour the center, I'll give you a quick tour. But again, we need cash, turkeys, canned foods, non-perishable foods, potatoes. You want to bake pies? Bake pies. A lot of restaurants, guys, tell me if this isn't cool. They will double their produce order Wednesday and send half of it to St. Augustine's. Orlando will send a couple trucks full of bread. And, of course, our sponsors, Elk and Elk, IHOP, Sweetie's Candy is phenomenal. But, yeah, just drive up. I'll be there from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. I know our friends at WKYC are going to help getting the word out, too. And it turns into like a little mini Woodstock kind of food collection for St. Augustine.
So that'll be tomorrow. You'll be set up there, right?
Yes, sir. From 5 a to 2 p, I'll be on the corner. How cool is this, too? The John Marshall football team, high school football season's over for them. They're coming out to unload cars. The Trinity girls basketball team is coming out to unload cars. And we're going to have a lot of help. You want to help? Bring a bag of food, bring a turkey, bring a cash donation.
Fantastic, partner. I want to get the word out this morning as you plan your day tomorrow. Okay, we'll remind you again. Mark will check in a couple of times in the morning as well, but they'll be set up at St. Augustine. So plan for tomorrow to help out and drop something off. And then, of course, if you can volunteer on Thursday in delivering meals, let them know that as well. All right, Munch, thanks much. We'll check back in the morning, okay?
Thank you, partner.
All right, 722, complete Cavaliers coverage. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside every Tuesday morning. Cavs update with Mike Fratello. It's brought to you by Metro Lexus, former Cavs coach, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history, analyst for both the YES Network, TNT, does a lot of work, too, on the Nets. Mike Fratello joins us this morning. Morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. A little bit happier today after last night's game.
Without a doubt, a 116-88 win. They've racked up a few wins in a row. LeBron was 16. But, you know, it seems like they're working hard for these wins, Mike.
Well, up till last night's performance, the wins that we have had, only one of those previous wins had come by more than 10 points or more. Last night was the second time that the Cavs made it easy on themselves. And yes, it was the perfect scenario. Cavs up there way ahead of time, earlier than the norm for traveling into a different city because of Dan Gilbert's function they had up there. In the meantime, a really tough game the night before for Detroit, where they had to play at Minnesota, a tough win, and then fly back, third game in four nights against the Cavaliers. So it was perfect as far as the schedule went for the Cavs. But at the end of this month, November, the Cavs finish up the same way, 3 in 4 nights to finish out the month of November. That's part of the NBA.
Mike, as you look at the Cavs right now, and they've been trending positively, though, really the last week or so, what do you see happening that's allowed that to happen?
Like it happened with the challenge, I believe, 7 games ago when they went and played Milwaukee. And everybody was saying, like, ah, this up-and-coming Milwaukee team, Cavs are struggling. Milwaukee's too fast, too athletic, too quick. And Cleveland went in there, okay, won that game, and then goes right on to the 4-game road trip. Lost the next one 6 games ago was the loss to Houston. But they played well. They came out of that game feeling good about themselves, because they were playing this high-scoring machine in Houston on their court, and the Cavs played them nose-to-nose right down to the wire. And since that time, it's been all wins. I think their conditioning is unquestionably much better now. You know, you put 7 more games under your belt, you get a couple more practices in there, workouts in there, and then you get a chance to work on the defense. The rotations have basically been the same, with the exception of Calderon started again last night and gave him an outstanding game, 14 points. Everybody talked about the job that he did in last night's game. They feel better. You know, this game, such a large part of it is mental. They feel so much better about themselves, and I think we have to give kudos to Love and Fry for the job they did on Drummond last night, holding him to just 8 points and 8 rebounds. This guy was averaging 16 rebounds a game, basically, to lead the NBA.
Mike, the Cavs are starting to put something together here, we can see. I wanted your take, though, with the Celtics. How good is this team? They won again last night in overtime. Kyrie goes off for 47, but they really haven't been doing it with his scoring. It's been their defense, hasn't it?
It's been their team defense, and then Kyrie has picked the spots where he feels they need him to go off for a big game. Last night was one of those incredible performances for Kyrie. 16 out of 22 from the floor, 10 of 11 from the free throw line for 47. But to me, these youngsters that are starting for them, Brown and Tatum, who have just come right in as if they've had a wealth of experience behind them, what the head coach said is, hey, look, you're young, you're inexperienced, but so what? You're really good, you're really talented. You want to be a star in the NBA? Here's your opportunity. Help us win games. And from day one of the regular season, because of that horrendous injury to Hayward that they had, they've got both of those youngsters starting. They're right at the top of the league in defense right now. They function well enough offensively to win all these games, 16 in a row right now for the Celtics. It's been an incredible opening run. I'm one of the ones that said they're going to fall off the edge after that early season injury, because I said they have too many new faces, too many youngsters on this lineup. to win really, really big. Well, it shows you how much I know.
Mike, but I've heard it said now, too, that maybe getting it back to the Cavs, that this isn't such a bad thing for maybe to get the Cavs' attention as they go for this marathon. And here we are only really, you know, it's not even Thanksgiving yet where we're at. This might be something that will get the Cavs' attention going forward. Your thoughts about that?
Mike, I think you're exactly right, because for the Cavs, it's five straight right now. They're noticing what Boston's doing, putting 16 in a row together. So the Cavs finish up this month with three at home, two away. And listen to this, Mike. It's Wednesday, Brooklyn. They're 6-10. Then Charlotte. They're 7-9. Philly is 9-7, over 500. But then Miami, 7-9, and Atlanta, 3-14. They very easily could put five more, and all of a sudden they're up to 10 in a row to show the Celtics, hey, look in that rearview mirror, because we're just a little bit behind you right now.
Cavs at the queue against the Nets tomorrow night. Jim Jones later at 8:20, and the chance to win a pair of Cavs tickets at 8:15. Blencorn of Westlake got through this time. Coach, let me get you out here on this. Nice turkey dinner Thursday, a red or a white, or does it matter?
You know, to me, I'm so deep into the red wine scene. I do white occasionally, like when I'm in Italy and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 12 noon luncheon. Other than that, I'm a red guy.
Mike Fratello's take on everything. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great one,
okay,
Coach.
Guys.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Fred Greetham, Scout.com. Best team coverage of the Browns. $1,000 to Fred. We call that walking around money. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy. You posted at WTAM.com, keyword Browns, Hugh Jackson stays with Deshaun. Give me the mood of the presser yesterday, because he was asked about that and some other things.
Yeah, you know, he started off just saying, you know, he's just not happy. He owns the record, you know, no excuses. And then it kind of went into, what do you think about the plan? Is it working? And he said, I don't want to get into that. And so that kind of opened up a little bit more. And I got a story coming out this morning about that. But it just is, you know, it's a kind of a depressing mood around. It seems to be year after year, you know, they just cannot get out of this funk. You know, when you're 1-25, you know, since he's been here, I mean, that's unprecedented. Even in the bad years when we've watched this team, you know, they always won two or three games and we were longing for a 500 season. Now 5-11 sounds good. You know, it's like this is really unbelievable.
It really is, Fred. We are longing for the days of 5-11. You said it, and I hear what you say. The whole organization now, the Haslams met with the team last week, but it wasn't the entire team. What can you tell us a little more about what actually happened or what you've learned, Fred?
Yeah, talked to Emmanuel Agba. You know, he's going to have surgery, and that's unfortunate because he's playing well. But he said that it was the leadership, about 12 players. Hugh Jackson was in on it, and it was just, you know, hey, you know, we're in this with you, and we, you know, we're going to follow through, and we're going to get this right. And it was more to reassure the leadership of the Browns. And, you know, I don't know all that's in there, but when you got, you know, Agba, who's only second year, you know, it's a very young team. So they're trying to convey, you know, the message that, you know, we do have a plan and it's going to work, and hang with us.
So they said that, but Hugh didn't want to talk about the plan. And so you just can feel the vibe that there's the tension there between Hugh and the front office right now, can't you?
Well, I think it's just the, you know, the roster, you know, you might say the good things, you know, that, and you know, and there's a lot of talent on this team. There's no denying that, but it is young and it's hard to win. And at the most important position, you know, you're trying to win with a quarterback who basically turned the ball over four times, you know, and resulted in 16 of the 19 Jaguar points, you know, the other day. And you know, that's tough. That's tough on a coach when he's judged, you know, by that. It doesn't matter, you know, in the box score, it's going to say 1-25 on Hugh Jackson. It's not going to say, well, he was doing this or he was doing that.
You know, Fred, I know he said that he's going to stick with Deshaun, and I don't know really what are his other options, really, when you look at what Kessler has shown and Hogan. It just is, though, you know, mind-boggling from a football perspective that they would go into this season with these three young quarterbacks and not have a veteran there of some sort sure to be there to support them. It's just mind-boggling that did not have the foresight to at least do that.
Well, it is, you know, and we've talked about it, and you feel like you're beating a dead horse, you know. You had Josh McCown, who's made the Jets respectable, and he would have been a perfect bridge quarterback for Kaiser. And then you have, you know, bypassing the guys that did in the draft, but also then you could have, you know, even kept Brock Osweiler, who's, you know, not the greatest, but he's at least, you know, filling in and doing something with the, you're paying him anyway. So all being said, yeah, he's tried Hogan, he's tried Kessler. I think he's determined, okay, I'm just best to stick with Kaiser and see what happens here.
Best team coverage of the Browns. We'll look for your new posting. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Griefham and online, WTAM.com, keyword Browns. Hey, Fred, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Be good, bud. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and your morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've got a win to talk about with Cavs legend Jim Jones on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. Hey, Bill, could I ask you guys a quick question?
What do you need, bud?
That only I have the answer, but it sets up my conclusion.
Okay.
What brings teams together?
What brings teams together?
Yes.
What brings teams together?
Well, I think when you have success.
Yeah, that's right. But it's two things, too. The road and defense. The road playing against the world. We have an outstanding road record in spite of our problems. The defense, you can't come together with just scoring points. That's AAU. But you can come together as a team by playing defense first, getting possessions, controlling the pace of the game. And when you play defense, everybody has to be involved. There are no weak efforts. Everybody has to make the concentrated effort. And that's one of the main general reasons why we're winning.
Great point. 116-88 win last night. And Mike Snyder, it started early in Detroit as far as the Cavs.
Yeah, they were ready to go. I think LeBron set the tone right out of the opening tap, Jim. And it was great to see because they've had at times some real problems, it seems like, getting into the game in the first quarter, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Yeah, hey, look, he's Hall of Fame. He's your best player. Let's don't take that lightly. He has a responsibility to get us going early. That's his job. And why is his job? Because he put himself in that position because he's that good. And last night, he got us off to the best start I've seen for a Cavalier team in a couple years.
Seventh starting lineup in 17 games for the Cavs. You liked what Jose Calderon brought yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, well, look, every time I talk to Coach Lou, getting on the bus off the plane, he said, Jones, my point guard, I got to get my point guards together because they've all been hurt. Calderon's just sitting there, and Calderon got in the game, Mike. You know, we've been talking about him for the last couple of games about what he does. Nothing spectacular, but he understands the value in the half court of making that first pass. He understands that organization on 5-on-5, which is the toughest defense to play against, you have to be organized. And the third thing is that LeBron James went back to his natural spot. He went back on the back line. And that allowed Calderon and everyone else to get more touches. It was a beautiful thing to see last night.
What do you see defensively, Jim? When you look at it, has it been the team aspect? It seems like there's just a better rotation out there when you just watch the bodies moving from side to side.
You're all over it, buddy. That is the thing. It's a better rotation. The guys have finally become committed. We're talking about bench and starters, to defending first. Lou put in a fantastic strategy. We talked about it, John Michael and I, last night a little bit. What he did, guys, is that he minimized the play of Reggie Jackson and also Avery Bradley by every time they were in a high dribble screen, which is a pick and roll, they would double team the dribbler, which was either Avery or Reggie, making them passers to guys who are so limited, the other three guys, that they couldn't get their own shot. The second thing is that when they passed to the bigs and the bigs tried to hand it back to the guard, they double-teamed the guard. Oh, it was a beautiful defensive strategy. Oh, it was playoff stuff. It really was. And Pistons didn't have a clue.
Brooklyn here tomorrow night. I've got Boston on my mind, though, because I want to ask
yes.
you about Boston. How's that,
how's
that Kyrie looking in that Celtic lineup overall?
He looks good, and he's saying he's trying to play defense. I think he bought in because everything's at stake for him. You know, he's the one that wanted to leave. So he's got to be committed beyond the obvious to do what they want to do. My brother called me yesterday, great, great basketball player in his own right.
Yeah.
And he and I were sitting down, he and I were talking last night, and he said, my nickname is Bunny. And that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
We'll make time for that, though. Don't worry.
Don't worry. We will.
Yeah. So he said, Bunny, you know why Boston's playing so well? He said, what? Because, Bunny, they're in better condition than everybody else. I said, because I watched them and I couldn't figure it out. I said, they're not doing anything spectacular. I said, what's the edge? They're in better condition, physical condition, mental condition. They can play harder, longer, and get over those stressful situations because they're not getting as fatigued as other teams. Look at the comebacks that they've had. You know, it looks like the other teams are just standing in mud, even the Warriors. They're just a little bit ahead of everybody on the conditioning level. And that will change when we get into December, when everybody will be in great condition, despite themselves.
Complete Cavaliers coverage. Jim Jones with us. More tonight, Cavs HQ, 7 to 8. Fred McLeod this time tomorrow. Nets in here at the Q tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Get your tickets, Cavs.com. All right, Bunny, won't see you before. Have a great Thanksgiving, by the way, pal.
Okay.
See you tomorrow, Jim.
Obviously, everybody's getting ready for this holiday shopping season. We did go out and check with about 1,500 of our best customers out there. We saw some interesting trends around the gifts that married couples want versus single customers.
Okay.
We found that married couples tend to want TVs more than other tech gifts, while single men tend to look towards that laptop or tablet that they can take with them. Single women, on the other hand, hope to get a smartphone, which gives them that same connectivity, but while on the go.
Interesting, but couples seem to agree on TVs for the most part.
You tend to see with the couples, the devices that are designed to be shared. So, you know, something that goes into the living room, that sort of thing, whereas with our single clients, they tend to have something that's more personal and portable. So that's why, again, you know, they tend to watch their Netflix, Amazon video on that laptop or tablet or smartphone.
Makes sense. Okay. We have a lot of sports fans. Did your survey ask them?
Yeah, there's no surprise there. You know, the sports fans, they want those big TVs, the biggest one they can get. They also want TVs that are designed to give them that high quality action in the highest definition and best image quality. So they are tending to look towards the 55, 65 inch TVs with the 4K Ultra HD. So again, that is something that pretty much anybody in the family can enjoy. On the other hand, the non-sports fans, again, they tend to go towards those smartphones, tablets, or laptops. So that they can enjoy that entertainment in the bedroom while they're, you know, before bed or while they're on the go.
Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with me. They did a little survey of what customers seem to want under the tree this year. Okay, when it comes to tech, though, people that are really into tech, what are you seeing? What are the trends?
I know myself as somebody who loves technology. When I get ready to shop, I go online, look through all the specs, all the stats, see the reviews, do head-to-head comparisons. And that's pretty much true for any self-reported tech enthusiast. They said that they really love the gift shopping more than the average consumer. They like to get on, check all those gifts out. But they also tend to buy gifts for themselves more often. So pretty much anytime they're online or in our stores, they're just as likely to buy a gift for themselves as they are while they're shopping for somebody else. So. Great way to kind of help yourself while you're helping the family.
Tech guys, especially, I think guys tend to buy themselves something over the holidays. All right, Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent 3012. A lot of great deals, specials too at Best Buy. Great place to research, of course, when it comes to all tech. Right, Derek?
Absolutely. You know, for those getting ready for that holiday shopping, one thing I definitely recommend, stop into the store today. That way you can kind of, if you are going to be out on Black Friday, you can scout out, see exactly where everything is. Or if you're someone like myself who prefers to do your online shopping, we'll have our online Black Friday sales. Our Black Friday preview ad is available on BestBuy.com already. And we'll have those sales going live on Thursday.
Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent 3012. Good info. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.